Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's Thursday. That means Jason Quick, our Fam Blazers insider. He's joining us a little early again today because we have Ducks basketball in the 5 o'clock hour. Here is Jason. They are off tonight. He'll be taking on the Lakers tomorrow. Jace, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to hear you again, Isaac. I missed you last week.
Well, I missed you. You were the one reason I wanted to be here on Thursday. No offense to Big Soup.
Yeah, my feelings are hurt.
Hey, do you have quick updates on the injuries at all? CJ, Nurkic, anything?
No, we'll learn more on March 2nd. I forget which day that is. I think it's Tuesday.
That is Tuesday.
That's when they both are going to be evaluated, and we'll get an idea then of when they'll be returning. I don't think they'll be back before the All-Star break, because the All-Star break is a week old or a week long. So why not get them another week of rest and able to get back in shape and all that? So I think it's probably feasible for one, if not both of them, to return shortly after the All-Star break, which is March 11th.
And there's no real need to rush this thing, right? I mean, does the seeding at this point, I mean, you got plenty of time left to kind of make a push here. I would assume that a 3 or 4 game difference here isn't the end of the world of the Blazers right now.
No, because I mean, particularly with CJ in the foot, you want to be careful with that, particularly because he's had problem with that foot before. So the main goal is to have them be good for the playoffs. That being said, I still think, you know, they're not going to totally drag their feet on this. When they're ready to play, the players will know, and then they'll put them in, because I still think it's important to get them back early enough where they can get the highest seed possible. And look, they're not out of the woods yet. It's not a lock that they're going to make the playoffs. So, you know, but my point is, I guess, is that they're going to be careful. Like you said, I don't think they're going to rush them if there's any way, shape, or form that they're feeling a little, you know, less than 100%.
And we haven't heard, I mean, there's all signs very positive. I haven't heard anything, or, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't hear anything and there's kind of like that simmering, maybe something's going on. I haven't heard any buzz about that.
No, matter of fact, I asked Terry Stotts after their last game where they're at with CJ, and he said that the doctors are happy with the way the bone is healing. That being said, CJ hasn't been able to do a lot of stuff on the court because they're trying to keep him off his feet. He's still not running. He is shooting and doing some dribbling stuff, but I imagine that after they Tuesday's checkup, then they'll probably start ramping that stuff up where he runs and gets back into shape and all that. But, you know, it's interesting, during CJ's first evaluation, which was 2 weeks ago, or almost two weeks ago, they didn't even take images, which surprised me, of his foot. They just wanted to see it, look at it, and then, you know, kind of have him be on his way and be evaluated again in 2 weeks.
So he's probably out for the season, is what you're saying.
No.
As the Blazers go. And also, you know, it should be mentioned, you know, they're not going to mess around with this too much. You're right, because you know, they're what, 4 games from the 2 seed, but they're only a half game from that play-in tournament, And they want to avoid that. And in a condensed schedule with so many back-to-backs and stuff, they've got to, you know, it's kind of it's dangerously go time, you know? I mean, they can't really mess around. It's too bunched up in the middle there.
I agree. Yeah. But I, again, the number one thing is to have these guys be available at 100% for the playoffs. And, you know, obviously they're going to be back well before then, but they're not going to risk bringing them back maybe 5 days too early because they have a big game against, say, Phoenix or Utah or something. They're going to play the long game here because they're just too important.
All right, so 30 days from the trade deadline, should we be looking for the Blazers to be making any moves at all?
Absolutely. I think they're going to be players, and that's one reason why Neil Olshey has kept an open roster spot. A lot of people are saying, you know, why don't they bring on more people, another two-way guy, or fill their roster spot because it's the COVID season and such a condensed season and injuries and all that. But he wanted to maintain flexibility to be able to make, you know, maybe send two or one player out, get to, you know, he has that flexibility to make an uneven trade by having that open roster spot. So I do think that they will look to sign a guy that will be a rotation player.
I'm assuming maybe, you know, a big, I don't know what's happening with Giles. I can't, speaking of like puzzling injuries, do you know what's happening with him? And is that where this move gets made, is someone that can play the four and the five?
If I had to guess, that's what I would think, Sook, that it would be a big. As far as Giles, we haven't been given any update on him, but I imagine that they'd want to sign somebody that's better than him, you know, a proven guy. I don't know if DeMarcus Cousins is on the radar. I would guess not, just because of his injury history. But, you know, I do think that it'll be a big, and I think it'll be a veteran.
I feel like Boogie was upset because he was playing behind Christian Wood, and here he would be playing behind Yusuf Nurkic, assuming he comes back. I don't know how well that would.
Cantor maybe, too.
Well, and but probably I think, Cantor, yeah.
Yeah, but he might start. I mean, you might throw him a bone if you know, put Cantor back on the bench. But if Nurkic is healthy, you know, it's the same situation as Houston. I don't know about that one. Are there other names out there, right, like Andre Drummond? Is that a possibility?
No, I don't think so, just because he's makes so much money.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a month to cover that. Have we decided whether or not Gary Trent is a good defender or not? That seems to be a debate.
I think he's serviceable, but I don't think he's a great, like, shutdown. I think his reputation has been inflated. He's not a shutdown, lock-you-up type defender. But I think he gives effort, and that is half the battle.
Is there any hope that he develops any part of an offensive game outside of shooting, or is it just, you know, hey, he's second round pick and he's developed into a, you know, into a solid player, you know, starter. So it's, am I asking too much for a rebound every now and then?
Yes, you are.
Probably. You know, it is still early in his career, and I think there's hope that he can develop into becoming more of a well-rounded player. You know, getting some assists, getting some rebounds. But, you know, at this point, that's nitpicking. Right now, I think people have to be really ecstatic with what they're getting from Gary Trent, who, you know, a reminder, he was a second-round pick. So I think he's going to be really valuable in a playoff series when teams really try to lock down Dame and CJ. He's going to be that guy who can hit that open three that the Blazers have really haven't had that guy during the Lillard era, the guy who can consistently hit a three when they double and trap him and CJ.
You think Lillard's got a realistic shot at MVP?
I do. I really do. They'll have to keep winning though. You know, I don't think if they're, I think they would have to be like a 2 or 3 seed in the West for him to kind of elevate into that conversation. If they kind of remain here in the 5th, 6th, I don't think that's impressive enough to overcome a Joel Embiid or a LeBron James.
It's funny because you hear that, like, I understand that way of thinking, but you hear it about Jokic and you hear it about, Doncic. Do you have to have a Chichich mm-hmm. in the end of your name? Because Lillard's having as good a year, if not better than Luka. I mean, Jokic is a beast. We saw that. But they don't get that same sort of the team has to be a top three than Lillard does.
Well, I don't think Luka's in the conversation this year. You know, I think people thought he would be at the beginning of the year, but I don't see him in any of these straw polls that I've taken part in and any conversations that Luka's in it. Jokic, yes. But, you know, he's so unique in what he does. I mean, he puts it up all across the board, points, rebounds, assists. And I think Denver's still going to be a very good team when it's all said and done. So I think the bottom line with Dame is going to be just how good the Blazers are. How good can he elevate them? Because he's going to have kind of those extra intangibles as far as elevating an underdog, and the way he does it in a very visible way because of his late game heroics. He has such a large resume of late game shots that it really kind of helps his candidacy.
Can you real quick try to explain to me the need to stop Enes Kanter picking up Jokic 40 feet from the hoop with no hoop or no help?
That was bizarre, wasn't it? and it's funny because the coaches were right there motioning him to do that, you know, that he was just following instructions. So I didn't get that. Certainly didn't cost him the game, but that was a very key moment and they got burned.
What topics are you working on? What stories?
Actually, I'm working on a big piece on Lillard and Bradley Beal, how they are kind of unique stars. And this is going to publish around the All-Star game. They're the two stars who are not looking to be traded and not looking to form a super team with other of their friends. They want to win and do it with the teams that drafted them by staying in town and doing it their way. And they have both talked about this with each other. And so I'm kind of writing a piece about the similarities between them and what kind of motivates them to be loyal to their franchises.
I understand Lillard a little bit, but the Bradley Beal one, I'm not going to lie, that puzzles me. Like, that screams, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah. I haven't really been able to get in depth on that yet with him. And I'm working on this with a colleague, Fred Katz, who covers the Wizards. And I'm going to be interested to hear what Bradley has to say about that. But he has been very much like Lillard in being vocal and saying, no, I want to stay here. It means something to me. And they consistently throw out the word loyalty. And, I think that's pretty unique in today's professional sports, particularly NBA.
All right, sir. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Okay. See you guys.